Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachamine Nivesesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatamine Antakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavaneyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Hey Krishna Garuna Sindhu Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Nagam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayeshava Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagati Naishtiki. So, I'm happy to be with you again online. I'm speaking from Mendoza, Argentina.
马哈尔姐非常高兴又和我们在线相见了。马哈尔姐是从阿根廷的曼多沙为我们讲课。
So, we're in the western part of Argentina.
马哈尔姐是在阿根廷的西部地区。
So we're continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 7, and we're going to finish Canto 7 today.
我们今天继续讲《博迦瓦谭》第七篇, 的15章, 今天要讲完15章。
And starting with chapter 11, now we're in 15. We have been hearing basically a summary of Dharma Shastra.
从第七篇的11章到15章, 我们大致听的都是讲的 Dharma Shastra.
It's, we can call it Bhagavad Dharma Shastra.
我们可以称之为 Bhagavad Dharma Shastra.
When I say Dharma Shastra, I mean what in English would be called the law books of the Vedic Hindu tradition.
当我们提到 Dharma Shastra 的时候，我们可以理解为是印度传统中的伟大的法典部分。
Where the focus is on varna and ashrama dharma.
Oh, 我们, 专注于 varna 和 ashram dharma.
So we know most of the seventh canto has been telling about the appearance of Nrsingadev.
第七篇的绝大部分内容讲述的是主尼辛哈的显现。
And of course, we know Nrsingadev appeared because Hiranyakashipu was such a terrible tyrant.
之所以尼西哈德瓦会显现, 是因为黑人卡西普是这样的一个可怕的暴君。
And he was tormenting his devotee son.
他在折磨自己的奉献者儿子。
So you could say Hiranyakashipu was an example of how not to follow, how not to practice Dharma.
Hiranyakashipu 就是不遵守达玛的典范。
And so now in the last, these four, or five chapters, we're getting details how to do it right, how to practice, so as not to become like Hiranyakashipu.
这第七篇到后五章就教导我们如何正确的旅行啊，而不要像黑暗亚卡师傅那样不遵守达玛的规范。
Yeah. Okay. Now, we're in the middle of chapter 15, and this chapter is called Instructions for Civilized Human Beings.
我们讲到了。第七篇的十五章，的中间部位。这个第七十五章呢，它是标题是对人类文明的教导。
And just as the previous few chapters have been a summary of Dharma Shastra, so now we're getting a summary of the summary. We're getting a double summary.
前几章呢是对达玛萨斯特的一个概述，这第十五章呢又是对这个概述的一个概述。
So it's a very useful chapter if you're wanting to get a quick start, like you get quick start instructions for a new piece of equipment.You can read this final chapter of Canto 7.
这一章的内容非常有用。如果你要想要对这个达玛有非常全面又快速的了解，读第十五章就足以让你能够看到全貌。
Okay. We're going to be continuing with verse number 40, but I want to back up first to verses 38 and 39.
我们讲到了第四十节，但是现在我们先来回顾一下38和39节。
So...Maybe you could just read the translation of 38-39.
世节38-39，在给哈斯塔阿什拉姆中生活却放弃规范原则的人，在古鲁照料下但不遵守 Brahmachari 誓言的 Brahmachari， 住在村里所谓社会活动的住在村里从事所谓社会活动的 Vanaprastha，沉溺于感官享乐的 Sanyas， 这些人都是令人厌恶的。以这种生活、一种方式活动的人将被视为最低等的叛徒。这样一位骗子受滋润人格守神外在能量的迷惑，人可以在任何地位上或者拒绝他，或者对他展示怜悯，如有可能教育他恢复原本的地位。
This was telling all the wrong things to do.
这两首诗节里告诉我们了，所有这些错误的做法。
Or the things, rather, I should say, the things not to do.
或者是说不应该做的事情。
And then.We get a reminder, starting from verse 40, of what is the whole purpose of all these Dharma rules.
第四十节又提醒我们了，所有这些法典的规则，它的目的何在？
The whole purpose is to realize our true self in relation to the Supreme Self.
这个目的就在与至尊主的关系当中觉悟到真正的自我。
Sometimes I like to give analogy for Varnashrama. It is something like making a scaffolding. Do you know what is scaffolding?
Don't know, Maharaj, sorry.
I thought so. When they're constructing a new building,
yes,
they will set up a temporary structure around yes. the outside of the building.
Yes.
So that yeah. temporary structure just made in a simple way with metal poles or in South China and in Hong Kong they use bamboo. That is called scaffolding in English.
Yes. 这就是一种临时工程或者是临时建筑。
So, this Varna Ashrama Dharma, all these rules, they're like this scaffolding.
所有这些 Varna Ashrama 的规范原则就像是临时建筑一样。
So, like the whole purpose of the scaffolding is to construct the permanent building. And then when the permanent building is completed, you take the scaffolding down.
这些临时建筑的用意用途就是为了建筑这个永久性的建筑。当永久性的建筑建成之后，这个临时建筑就会被摧毁了。
And in this example, the permanent building is bhakti.
在这种意义上来说，这个永久性的建筑呢，就是 bhakti。
Bhakti is the real substance.
Bhakti 是真正的实质。
And the rules of Varnashrama support, they help in building this structure of bhakti.
Varnashrama 的规范原则是为了帮助bhakti 的结构，建成bhakti 的结构。
So to elaborate on this essential purpose of all the rules, now starting in verse 41, for a few verses, we're going to get an extended analogy, and the analogy is of the chariot.
从41节往后是对这个目的或者是宗旨的一个详细的阐述。41节给了我们一个关于战车的详细的描述。这是一个类比。
So, could you please read verse 41?
41节，知识精进的超人主义者把按照至尊人格守神的指令所制造的躯体比喻为一辆马车，感官比作马匹，感官之主心意好比缰绳，感官对象是目的地，智性是马车夫，遍布全身的知觉是束缚在这个物质世界的根源。
So this analogy of the chariot and the chariot driver and so onis quite, it's kind of, you find it elsewhere in the Vedic literature.
这关于把身体比作为马车，还有马车夫这种比喻呢，我们可以在伟达文献的其他地方也可以看到。
It's already present in the Rig Veda, which is the oldest.Layer of the Veda.
这也见于最古老的四维达经中的瑞格维达。
famously, it's described in the Katha Upanishad, one of the Upanishads.
它也见于 Katha Upanishad, Katha Oishu.
And we also find it in Bhagavad Gita.
国家梵歌中也有这样的比方。
And of course, Krishna and Arjuna are on a chariot when Krishna is teaching Arjuna.
当 Krishna 教导 Arjuna 的时候，他们两个也是站在战车上。
So now we're getting the same, a little bit more elaborated than we find elsewhere.
在这里我们可以 看到一个更加详细的说法。
And the essential idea here is the distinction, which we hear so much, the distinction between the body and the self.
我们看到的是关于躯体和自我之间的区别。
It says in verse 42, the living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot.
42节说到这个受躯体化概念影响的生物体这个灵魂呢，它是这个躯体的拥有者。
So the value of this analogy is to help us understand this relationship between the self and the body.
这个比喻的目的是帮助我们理解这个躯体和自我之间的分别。
In verse 42, the last line of the Sanskrit, last two lines, Dhanurhi tasya pranavam katanti sharam tu jivam param eva lachyam. The Vedic mantra pranava is the bow, and the pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being.
Pavana, Pranava 是弓，纯粹的生物，是箭，靶则是自尊者。
So again, we're being reminded what is the purpose of all the rules.
这里再一次提醒了我们，所有这些原则的目的何在？
Yeah.And again, this analogy of the bow and the arrow, this we find also in the Upanishads.
这个弓和箭的比喻也可以见于奥义书。
Okay, then there's some discussion again.About the modes of nature.
这里还有对自然形态的讨论。
And here we can say, because Narada has told us in verse 38-39 what not to do, and now you could say he's explaining why it happens that we.Do what we should not do. It's because of the modes of nature.
Narada Muni 的38节到39节告诉我们了哪些不应该做。现在他告诉我们为什么我们会做错事呢？这是因为受到物质形态的影响。
Especially the problem of passion and ignorance.
尤其是受到了激情和愚昧形态的影响。
And here in verses 43 and 44, these are compared to enemies.
在43到44节中把这些称为敌人比作敌人。
So again, the analogy of the chariot because chariots are used in battle, in war.
这里又再度用战车作为比喻，因为战车是可以用于在战场上作战。
And so the suggestion is that it's a condition of war that one is in as long as one is in the modes of material nature.
在这个战场呢，就是一个人处于物质自然形态的影响，就是他是受到了这个形态的束缚和限制。
And so one needs to have good weapons to fight.
人需要一个精良的武器来作战。
And that is explained in the next verse. This is verse 45.
45节中就阐释了这一点。
Let's also read this translation.
Yes. 译文，只要人不得不接受一具物质躯体，即是无法全然处于自己控制之下的躯体的不同部分及其随身用具，则必须拥有他长辈及他灵性导师及前辈的莲花族，记着他们的仁慈，并可以使知识之剑锋利，并且记着至尊人各守神的仁慈的力量，征服上述的敌人。如此，奉献者方有能力沉浸于他自身的超然快乐之中，之后他可以放弃躯体，恢复他的灵性身份。
Okay, so, here we get this idea of the weapon as a sharpened sword of knowledge.
这里我们有了武器，就是知识的利剑。
And then, one can be successful in using this weapon, with the mercy of the guru and the previous acharyas.
一个人得到了自己的灵性导师以及生前的 acharya 们的仁慈，就可以成功的去使用这把宝剑。
And then all of this becomes successful with the power of the Lord.
所有一切都因着至尊主的仁慈而变得成功了。
And then it is possible to be successful in conquering one's enemies.
那么他就可以成功地征服自己的敌人。
And what are the enemies? The enemies are the modes of nature.
那敌人是什么呢？就是自然形态。
And then, interesting, the last line, svanandatushta upashanta idam vijahyat. So this is suggesting the final destination for this warrior devotee.
这里说明了这个作为武士的奉献者他的最终极的目的地是怎样的。
And in his translation in English, was able to merge into his own transcendental bliss.
帕帕德在译文中翻译到，奉献者有能力沉浸于他自身的超然极乐之中。
Which is interesting because usually Prabhupada doesn't like to use the word merge except in a negative way.
这是一个很有意思的说法，因为帕帕德不喜欢用这个沉浸 就是因为这个沉浸呢总是有一种负面的含义。
But here is using in a positive way.
但是帕帕德在这里把它作为一个正面含义来使用。
The Sanskrit svananda means one's own bliss.
Svananda 是一个人自身的喜乐。
So we are reminded that the source of our happiness is actually within ourselves.
这里就提醒我们，我们快乐的源泉实际上出于我们的内在。
It's not somewhere outside ourselves.
不是出于我们的外在。
And then, finally, then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity.
他可以放弃这个物质的躯体，恢复他的灵性身份。
Now here, Prabhupada is translating the word vijahyat, the last word in Sanskrit. One should give up.
Prabhupada 在这里把梵文词 vijahyat 翻译为人应当放弃。
So give up what? Idam, this body.
放弃什么呢？ Idam, 这个躯体。
So Prabhupada translates that part, but he adds something.
Prabhupada 把这个两个词的字面意义翻译出来了，但是呢，他还是有所增添。
Says he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity, but that's not in the Sanskrit.
说完了，他可以放弃躯体，然后帕帕他补充了一句，他可以恢复他原本的灵性身份。这句话是在梵文原句里面是找不到的。
So where is Prabhupada getting that from?
帕帕德从哪里得到了这种说法的？
Well, I didn't have time to check, but most probably.One of the previous commentaries have mentioned this.
马哈就没有时间去考证了，肯定是有一个先前的评述者提到了这一点。
And even if they haven't mentioned, Prabhupada just wants to make clear that this giving up the body.Doesn't mean losing existence. It doesn't mean becoming non-existent.
即便先前的评述者没有提到这一点，但是帕帕德也想要我们明确，放弃这个躯体并不意味着我们变得不存在了。
Okay, now, and in the next verse,the connection is there because we're giving up the material body, giving up material mentality and material existence.
第十下面这一节呢和上面一节是有关联的。那么我们先放弃了物质的躯体，然后放弃了物质的心态，然后。还放弃了sorry, last week, what material, we gave up what material?
Give up material existence.
放弃了物质的存在。
If we are not taking shelter of the Lord, then we will not be able to, We will not be successful in giving up the body. We will be still attached to the modes of nature.
如果我们不脱臂于主，那么我们依然会
受到这个物质自然的束缚，依然依附于这个物质的躯体。
And so in the next verse, Prabhupada says, otherwise, if one does not take shelter of Achyuta and Baladeva,
否则如果 不脱避于 Achyuta 和 Baladeva,
then the senses acting as the horses,
那么像感官一样活动的、像马匹一样活动的感官。
Both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body which acts as the chariot to the path of sense gratification.
啊，和马车夫般的智性，两者都有物质自然的倾，物质污染的倾向，就会漫不经心的把如马车般行为的躯体带至感官享乐的道路上。
Now, here's something strange.
这里有一个非常奇怪的事。
The Sanskrit of this verse, verse number 46, nowhere does it mention Achyuta, Krishna, or Balaram.
嗯，这里又出现了一个奇怪的现象。梵文里面并没有出现 Achyuta 和 Balarama 这样两个名字。
The first word.In the Sanskrit is no chet.
在梵文里面第一个词是 no chet.
Which is, I think it's not uchet. And the word for word Prabhupada translates this no chet, if we do not follow the instructions of Achyuta Krishna and do not take shelter of Balaram.
Chet 啪啪的翻译成如果我们不遵守 Achyuta Krishna 的训谕不脱避于 Balarama
Where does he get this Achyuta and Balaram?
啪啪的从哪里得到 Achyuta 和 Balarama 这两个名字呢
Again it must be coming from commentaries
一定是来自评述者的说法
In any case, the point of taking shelter of the Lord, otherwise one is not going to be successful, is, you can say, the central point of the whole seventh canto.
第七篇的一个核心的要点就是要脱避于主。
Yeah, so, but Narada is continuing with this analogy of the chariot.
Narada 继续用战车来做比方。
And he's saying if we drive the chariot in the wrong direction, we're not going to reach our goal.
如果我们把车朝一个错误的方向赶，那么就不会达到我们的目标。
Are you there?
Yes.、
Oh.
Your question is here. I have translated your words.
Three words. Okay. Okay. Now starting with.Verse number 47, we get a new concept.
那四十七节又给了我们一个全新的概念。
It's not really new, but in a sense, we're getting a review in this end of this chapter. So it's talking about pravritti and nivritti.
其实也并这个概念也并不是崭新的，它只是对先前概念的一个回顾。我们有 pravritti 和 nivritti。
Pravritti means engagement, active engagement in the world.
Pravritti 就是积极的入世。
And nivritti means the opposite. of it. It means disengagement from the world.
Nirviti 是相恰恰相反，意味着出世。
So, it's just saying that these two paths, these two, you can say lifestyles, are going to lead in two different directions.
这两条道路我们可以说是两种生活不同的生活方式，像会把人引领到不同的目的地。
Pravritti, is going to lead to more suffering in the material world.
Pravritti 将会把我们引领到更多痛苦的物质存在。
And Nivritti is going to lead to purification and, to the experience of Ananda, of Amrita.
Nivritti 会给我们带来净化喜乐和不朽，也就是永恒。
Nivretanushnute Amritam. We get this expression also in Ishopanishad. Amritam Ashnute.
在奥义书中也有这样的话语 Amrita Ashnute.
Yes, one enjoys immortality.
人享受永恒的生命。
Okay, now, this is interesting. So, continuing with the subject of pravritti, or engagement in the world, now, Narada is going to say, even if you do this following all the rules, even if you do in a dharmic way, you're going to suffer.
那儿子母女继续说，你按照 priority 就是在这个世间活动的道路去行事，即便你遵守规范宗教规范原则，你依然注定要受苦。
Let's read verses 50 and 51.
世界五十和五十一。我亲爱的有第十日尔王啊，在祭祀中供奉酥油如大麦和芝麻之类食品的祭品时，他们变成了神圣的烟，把人成功的带到高等星系，如 Duma, Ratri, Krishnapaksha, Dakshina, 最终带到月球上。但是接下来举行祭祀者会再次降到地球上，成为药草、爬藤和粮食，它们被不同的生物吃掉，变成精液，被射进女子的体内。如此，一个人反复的投生。
Describing what is called the Pitriyana.
这被称为 Pitriyana。
There's Devayana and Pitriyana. These are two different paths.
有两种不同的道路，一种是 Devayana, 一种是 Pitriyana.
And this is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 8.
在《博迦梵歌》第八章中提到了这一点。
It's describing that the Devayana path, the path of the gods is leading to liberation, and Pitriyana is leading to higher planets, but back again to the material, to the world of death.
Devayana 是会引领人达到解脱，而 Pitriyana, 则是提升到了高等的星球，但是呢又会重新堕入这个物质的世界，得到再次的物质投生。
So in the Pitriyana there is a cyclical path. One goes up, and then one goes back down, and then one goes up and back down.
嗯，所以这个 Pitrayana 它就是上上下下，上去了又下来，下去了然后又上来，就是这样的循环。
So it's basically describing samsara, the repetition of birth and death.
所以它大致上就被描述为 samsara 是不断轮回生死。
And this is really what much of worldly Dharma Shastra is about. People want this. They want to go up and come back down and go up and come back down.
这世俗的宗教原则主要是论述这些方面的内容，也是人们想要的。他们就想要上上下下，先提升，然后再堕下来。然后呢，再提升，然后再堕落下来。
But then, through that system, one can become a twice-born Brahmin.
通过这个体系，人可以成为再生的婆罗门。
And as a Brahmin, one has the opportunity to realize what is actually going on.
通过婆罗门这个身份，一个人可以明白这到底是发生了什么样的事情。
And then one can start to engage instead, one can shift to the Devayana path.
一个人可以把自己转移到 Devayana 的道路上面。
And now he is working, he or she is working with knowledge. And remember, the sword of knowledge was cutting through the modes of nature.
那么他可以以知识去活动，并且牢记这个知识的利剑可以去斩断物质形态的影响。
But now a different analogy comes, namely Jnana Deepa.
这里面又出现了Jnana Deepa 这么一个比方。
Instead of the sword of knowledge, now we have the light or the fire of knowledge.
现在我们不再以知识之剑这样的一个比喻，现在我们有了一个光明和火这样的比喻。
Okay, now let's read verse 53.
53节。心意始终被接受和拒绝的波浪搅动，因此应该把所有的感官供奉给心意，把心意供奉给言语，然后把言语供奉给全部字母的集合，全部字母的集合供奉给简明的形体 Omkara， Omkara 供奉给宾堵，宾堵供奉给生命的震荡，生命的震荡供奉给生命之气，之后只剩下生物应该被置于至尊者 Brahman 当中。这篇是祭祀的过程。
Yeah, so this is very Are you there?
Yeah, Maharaj, your voice is broken. I didn't hear what you just said.
Oh, I just said this is very interesting.
Oh, 这是很有意思的说法。
Because it's describing the inverse process of creation.
它这是描述了一个 inverse means
means the opposite.
这就是因为一个反创跟创造完全相反的过程。
So it's describing a process of how to deconstruct the material creation, starting with the mind.
如何把物质创造分解开来，首先是对付的是心意。
And it's describing it in the language of sacrifice.
它是用祭祀这个语言是来描述的。
The language of sacrifice means one makes offerings of into a fire.
Offer what into fire?
Offer grains like rice and ghee into fire.
把一些物品，比方说谷物或者是酥油，供奉给火。
So in a similar way, the suggestion here is to offer the activities of the senses into the fire of the mind.
这里面就建议把所有的感官活动供奉给心意之火。
And then one should offer the mind into the fire of one's own words.
然后把心意供奉给像火一般的言语。
And then one should offer one's words into the aggregate of all syllables of the language.
然后把言语供奉给所有言语的字母集合。
And then one offers all of that into Omkara.
然后把字母集合供奉给 Omkara.
And then the syllable Om should be offered into the point Bindu.
Om.这个音节应该供奉给宾度这个点。
What that means is, in the syllable Om, it's analyzed that this one syllable actually has five parts.
Om 这个音节被分解成五个部分。
And the very last part is the bindu.
最后一个部分是宾度。
It's the point of entering into silence.
这是进入静寂的那一个点。
And then, that bindu needs to be offered into the vibration of sound.
这个宾度应该供奉给声音的震荡。
And that should be offered into prana, into the life air, or what I think you call qi.
那声音的震荡供奉给 prana, 也就是生命之气。
Right, isn't it? You call it qi.
It's not exactly the same, but we call it life air, 就生命之气。
生命之气。
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
So then, if anything remains from after this, namely the living entity, that...living entity oneself should be offered into Brahman.
之后剩下的是什么呢？就是生物体，这个生物体应该被供奉给 Brahman.
And then Prabhupada says at the end, this is the process of sacrifice.
Prabhupada 说，这便是祭祀的过程。
So that's interesting because before he's describing the Pitriyana process of sacrifice, which involves all kinds of rituals.
这一点很有意思，因为之前讨论的是 Pitrayana 的祭祀过程，那么我们会遵守各种各样的规范仪礼。
And it also involves the sacrifice, the killing of animals.
它也涉及到杀戮动物这种祭祀牺牲。
So that was Pitrayana. Now we're getting Devayana, which is about the ultimate sacrifice, giving up oneself into Brahma.
但是这里谈的是 Devayana 祭祀，我们把自己供奉给至尊，这是一种终极的最高级的祭祀。
And it's a process of offering, again, starting with the senses into the mind, and then mind into, what was it? into one's words, and so on.
首先是心意，然后是言语，然后还有其他的字母的组合，集合。
Okay, now in the next verse, we get a description of the traveling. It's giving us a tour guide. What happens to the soul that's been in the material world?
之后呢，给了我们一个
Brahma.
这个就像一个导游图一样的。这个生物从它一路向上演进，最后到了 Brahma 的楼卡。
So shall we read verse 54?
Yes, 54节，在提升之途上，前进的生物与主宰半身人一同进入火、太阳、白天，白天结束，明亮的两星期，满月。太阳在北方的移动，这些不同的世界，当他进入 Brahma Loka 时，便享受上百万年的生命，最后他的物质名号终止，接下来他获得一个精卫名号，从这种精卫的名号再达到元婴名号，并见证过往一切状态，这种元婴状态毁灭时，他达到了纯粹状态，在那种状态下，他与智浩灵认同，如此生物变得超超然的。
Now here's something interesting. It says he then comes to a subtle designation from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states.
这里面有一个非常有趣的说法，他是达到了元婴的名号，并见证过往的一切状态。
The Sanskrit is Taijasa Prajna. Prajna, witness in the causal designation.
在这个元婴的名号当中去见证一切。
So we might be reminded in the story of the life of the Buddha.
我们可能想起布塔的故事。
That's on the day or the night of his realization. He had a vision of remembering his previous lives, many, many lives.
布塔就是在他觉悟的那个天或者是那个晚上，他记起了以前的很多生事。
So we might say this is the prajna state that he was in.
我们可以说这是 prajna 的境界。
Prajna.
Prajna.
Yes.
见证元婴名号。
In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, Krishna speaks a lot about prajna.
Krishna 在《博伽梵歌》第二章中说到了很多次的 prajna.
After Arjuna asks him, he says, Sita prajnyasya kabhasa samadhisthasya keshava. He's asking him, what are the characteristics of a person who is fixed in prajna?
Krishna, 在第二章中 ,Arjuna, 询问 Krishna, 一个稳处于 prajna 的人当中他有什么样的征兆呢
?And basically, Krishna says he is free from sense gratification.
Krishna 大致说这样的人他是免于感官满足的。
But here we get a different insight into the meaning of this word.
在这里呢我们对这个 prajna 有一种另外的一种洞察。
And finally it says he attains his pure state, which in Sanskrit is called turiya.
他达到了纯粹的状态用梵文来词来比。描述就是 Turiya.
Turiya. Now, the word Turiya, literally means the fourth, as in first, second, third, and fourth.
Turiya 的字面意思是第四个。
And this is very common, terminology in Vedanta.
这是维恩他。非常多哲学里面的一个常用的术语。
Why is it called fourth?
为什么它被称为是第四个呢?
Because it's a state of consciousness which is beyond waking and sleeping and dreaming.
哦，这是一种知觉的状态，它超越醒觉、睡眠。和做梦这三种状态。
You could say it means being super awake.
我们可以说这样的人是超级醒觉的。
Narada Muni is, he's referring to that, he's alluding to that.
Narada Muni 这里呢就提到了这一点。
Okay, now in verse 55, Narada is explicitly naming this, this second path.
在54节 ,Narada Muni 已经很明确的在阐释或者是肯定第二条道路。
Devayanam idam prahur bhutva bhutvana purvasha atma yachyupvashantatma yatma sto na nivartate. So we have the word devayanam, the process of elevation, which is called devayana.
55节中的 devayana.这个解脱的道路。
Then Atmayaji, one who is eager for self-realization.
Atmayaji 是一个渴望自我觉悟的人。
Is now going on this Devayana.
他就会来进行 Devayana 的提升之法。
The result of this, again, is no more repetition.
结果就是不再有这个重复的轮回生死。
Atmasta na nivartate. He does not return because Atmasta is situated in the self.
他不再返回，这因为他 Atmasta 稳处于自我之中。
And we might be reminded of what Krishna tells Arjuna in chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 6.
在《薄伽梵歌》第15章第6节中, Krishna 对 Arjuna 说,
He says, Natat bhasayate suryo nasashanko nabhavaka yat gatva na nivartante tat dhamma paramanama. Do you have the verse there?
Yes. 我的居所不由日月火电来照明, 到了那里就永不重返这个物质世界。
Okay, so the word nivartate means to turn back.
Nivartate 的意思是返回。
So Krishna tells Arjuna, Gatva, having gone there to the spiritual world, na nivartante, you will not return.
Krishna 对 Arjuna 说, 去了灵性世界, 那么就不用再返回了。
Tat dhamma paramam mama. That is my supreme abode.
那是我至尊的居所。
So here, in Narada's teaching, he's saying something similar. Atmasona nivartate, that person situated in the self does not return to birth and death.
在55节, Narada Muni 说, 他的说法也是类似的，一个稳处于自我之中的人, 不用再返回这个生死世界。
Okay, let's now move to verse 57. We're kind of gradually going through this rest of this chapter because there's quite a lot here.
这条世界是我们要好好去讨论的，这里面有很多的知识点。
And here we get a reference to supreme truth.
这里提到了至尊的真理。
Let's see. Knowledge. I am this one. Svayam. Yeah. Well, it's in Prabhupada's translation, but it sort of echoes the first chapter, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam.
You mean it echo to the first
to
chapter? Of
Canto 1.
Canto 1. Canto 1. First chapter. And the
first.
Yes. Prabhupada 在这里面是翻译的
Where we are invited.
Yes. 是。 邀请我们和，sorry, Maharaj, yes, please.
In that first verse of the first canto, first chapter, it says, Satyam Param Dimahi, let us meditate on that supreme truth.
在《薄伽瓦坛》第一篇第一章第一节中说到, 让我们 Satyam Param Dimahi, 让我们来冥想至尊绝对真理。
So here in this verse, it's referring to the person who exists in all conditions, beginning and external, internal.
这里面提到了，一个在创造之初，它存在于创造之中和内外，在创造之初它已经存在的。
And it's saying this supreme truth, who is a person, the supreme Lord, is everything.
这个至尊真理，它便是至尊主，它便是一切。
And in his purport, Prabhupada refers to a statement in Upanishads. He says, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, that this Bhagavatam verse of Narada is explaining this phrase from the Upanishads.
所以我在晚上这首诗节里解释了奥义书中的这首诗节的含义。
But he's also pointing to what's called the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the four verses near the end of Canto 2.
他也是在解释说到了在第二篇接近末尾的时候的 Chatushloki 有四首最重要的诗节的内容。
Canto 2, Chapter 9, Verses 33 through 36.
哦，是第二篇第九章，33到36节。
That's called the Chatushloki Bhagavatam because, in a sense, the whole philosophy of the Bhagavatam is summarized in those four verses.
这被称为薄伽瓦坛的四首种子诗节，因为薄伽瓦坛的全部的哲学都被浓缩在这四首种子诗节之中了。
Okay, continuing. Let's read verse 58.
58节。尽管有人认为镜子中的太阳的反射是不真实的，这个反射却有真实的存在物，因此用推理知识证明没有真实的存在将极其困难。
Okay, this is interesting. It's of course giving an analogy. There's the sun and there's the reflection of the sun in a mirror.
这首诗节很有意思，因为他又做了一个比方，有太阳，还有镜子中的太阳的反射。
And someone may say, okay, the sun is maybe it's real, but the reflection in the mirror, that is certainly not real.
有人说太阳有可能是真实的，但是镜子中太阳的反射形象肯定是不真实的。
So here it says to say that nothing is real, neither the sun nor the reflection in the mirror. That's a very difficult thing to claim.
所以如果是声称太阳和它的在镜子中的反射都不真实，这将是一个非常难以证明的声言。
This is called Artha Vikalpitam.
这被称为是 Artha Vikalpitam.
Here Artha means reality.
Artha 的意思是真实性或实在。
And Vikalpita means speculated or doubtful.
Vikalpita 是推敲或者是疑惑。
So, this is, in other words, a kind of stretching. It's difficult to make such a claim that nothing is real.
就很难去做出这样的声言，说什么都不真实。
Now you may ask, why is Narada talking about this?
你可能会纳闷 ，Narada Muni 为什么要这样说呀
？Because he has just explained that the living entity, after becoming free from material existence, will not return to this world.
他刚刚说到了，摆脱物质存在的生物体将永远不会再回来，而是挣扎灵性世界。
And so someone may come to an impersonal conclusion.
有些人就会因此而得出一个非人格的结论。
Which is the non-dualist idea that there is ultimately no truth, no reality.
这种是非二元论。总体来说，没有真实，没有实在，也没有真理。
But now, let's read the next verse. This is a little bit strange.
然后我们再读读下一首诗节，五十九节。这个时候世界是有点奇怪的。在这个世界有五种元素，即土、水、火、空气和以太。但是躯体不是他们的反射，也不是他们的化合物或转换，因为躯体及其元素既非截然分开，也不是混合在一起。这样的理论都是不真实的。
Okay, this is, to me, this is surprising, because, it seems like we want to say the opposite.
这种说法对我来说是很让我惊讶，显然想让我们说一些，有一个完全相反的说法。
So we have, first of all, it's saying that the world, there are five elements.
我们首先说，这个世界有五大元素。
And the body is not a reflection of them.
这身体呢不是这五大元素的反射。
Chaya, the word chaya can mean reflection or a shadow.
Chaya 的意思是反射或者是影子。
And it says chaya na katama abhi. It's not a reflection.Nor is it a combination or a transformation of these elements.
它们既不是这些元素的影子，也不是它们的组合或者是转换。
I think if we did a little searching, we would find other statements in the Bhagavatam.That say exact opposite. The body is a transformation of the elements, five elements.
如果我们在波迦瓦坛做一番考证，我们会发现波迦瓦坛里面有截然相反的说法。这个躯体 躯体就是这五大元素的转换。
Okay, so we may wonder what is going on here.
所以我们可能想知道这里到底想要说些什么。
And then it goes on to say, because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated, all such theories are insubstantial.
这里说到躯体及其元素既非截然分开，也不是混合在一起，这样的理论都是不真实的。
So here we may get some help from Srila Prabhupada's purport.
我们可以从希拉帕布帕的要旨当中得到一些帮助，让我们能够更好的理解这个说法。
So Prabhupada is giving example of trees in a forest.
帕布帕举森林中的树木为例。
Says the forest is certainly a transformation of the earth.
那森林肯定是土的一种转型。
But one tree does not depend on another tree.
但是一棵树并不依赖另外一棵树。
If you cut down one tree, it doesn't mean all the trees cut down.
砍倒一棵树的时候，并不意味着其他的树也会被砍倒。
I think what he's hinting at here is the impersonalist idea seems to be that if I realize my identity with Brahman, then somehow everyone realizes their identity with Brahman.
嗯，也许帕帕的说法这里暗示了一种非人格的领悟啊，我觉悟到了我跟梵的一致性，那么其他人也会觉悟到他们与梵的一致性。
So this is saying, no, that's not the case.
这里说到了，不，情况并不是这样。
不。Rather, and then Prabhupada gives, he says, the best explanation is given by Krishna himself, and he's quoting from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9.
Prabhupada 在这里说到，最佳的解释由慧士的本人做出，是见于《薄伽梵歌》第九章。
Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadam yaktamurtina matstani sarvutani natchaham teshvavastita. And you can read that translation, just that verse 9-4 in the purport.
我以未展示的形体遍及整个宇宙，所有生物都在我之中，但我却不在他们之内。
So the point is that there is the Lord and there are his energies, and there is a simultaneous distinction and non-distinction between them.
所以这里强调的要点是有主，还有主的能量，他们既有别又没有分别，即一即一。
And so Prabhupada explains at the end of the first paragraph of this commentary, thus our speculative theories that Atman, the living force, is a combination of matter, that matter is a transformation of the soul,or that the body is part of the soul, are all insubstantial.
因此我们推测性的理论，即生命力是物质的组合，物质是灵魂的转换，或躯体是灵魂的一部分，都是不真实的。
Okay, but it gets more complicated. With verse number 60.
这六十节呢，又变得说法又更加复杂了。
So now it seems in the beginning to say the opposite. The body is formed of the five elements.
这说法又变了，说躯体由五种元素构成。
Well, didn't it just say in the previous verse, the body is not formed from the five elements?
那前面那首诗节不是说了吗？躯体不是由这五种元素构成。
Well, it doesn't exactly say that. It says it's not a reflection of them, and it's not a combination, and it's not a transformation of them.
它其实他实际上他说的是不是他们的反射，也不是他们的化合物或转换。
In any case, because it says the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects.
这里说到躯体由五种元素构成，没有精微的感官对象，它无法存在。
Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary.
既然身体是虚假的，那么感官对象也自然是虚假的，或者是短暂的。
Okay, this is deep and difficult subject.
啊，这是一个非常深邃又难以去阐释的主题。
Which we won't try to penetrate fully now because we're trying to do an overview.
啊，在这里面呢，我们并不是过多的去展开来讨论，因为我们这里想要做的是一个概述。
But you're welcome to read these yourselves and try to understand more deeply.
但是欢迎大家去阅读诗节，然后呢深刻的理解它的含义。
Okay, now verse 61, Narada starts with another analogy. He's talking now about these different states of consciousness, specifically dreaming.
Narada 在这里又做了另外一种类型的对比。他谈到了三种形式的知觉，特别是做梦的状态。
And he's saying that the whole purpose of all the injunctions and prohibitions of scripture is to manage our lives in the state of dreaming, which is material existence.
所有的经典的训谕和警令所构成的规范原则，就是让我们在这个做梦的状态当中去行事。
This is quite amazing. He says, while dreaming, one creates a separation between the existence called wakefulness and sleep.
这里说到做梦时，人会把清醒与睡眠状态区分开。
And so he's saying that wakefulness and sleep are both dreaming.
他说的，醒觉和做梦的状态其实都是，醒觉与睡眠的状态其实都是在做梦。
But because one is dreaming, and therefore in illusion, one thinks there's a difference between the wakefulness and the sleep.
因为人在做梦，所以他就认为清醒与睡眠是有区别的。
So that's a mistake.
就是
Hugo, that is a mistake.
这种说法是错的。
Condition of making this mistake, we need to go on with life.
受了这种错误的条件限制，我们就继续过着物质形态的生活。
And how to go on with life? For that we have Vedic regulative principles of the scriptures.
如何去过这种人生呢？那么我们就有伟大的经典所给予我们的这些训谕和警令。
So again, Narada is coming to the end of his long instructions to King Yudhishthira, in which he's been speaking about all these rules and regulations.
在这里那个穆尼对尤迪西尔教导就进入了尾声，他教导了他所有的这些规范原则。
And so now he's again saying why it's necessary to have all these rules and regulations, because we're all dreaming.
在这里他又强调了为什么我们要有这些规范原则呢？因为我们大家都在做梦。
And now, in the next verse 63, he's talking about, the jnani, the mental speculator, the muni.
63节谈论了那些 muni, 也就是心智思辨家，也称为是 jnani。
And how the muni, realizes non-duality.
那些穆尼是如何觉悟到了非二元性呢？
And he's going to describe three different kinds of non-duality.
他将要描述三种类型的非二元性。
One is called Bhava Advaita, then Kriya Advaita, and Dramya Advaita.
一种是 Bhava Advaita, 一种是Kriya Advaita, 还有一种是 Drava Advaita.
Yeah, they all have one thing in common, they have Advaita, non-dualism.
这三个名词都有一个共性，就是都有Advaita, 就是非二元性。
And we may remember going again back to the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami speaks of Advaya Jnana, non-dual knowledge.
我们可以想起在一开始的时候苏塔高斯汤米他常所提到的 Advaita Jnana 是非二元性的知识。
And he tells us what that non-dual knowledge is. It's there that has three different designations.
这种非二元性的知识是怎样的呢？它有三个不同的特征，
namely Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan.
即 Brahman, Paramatma 和 Bhagavan.
And some called Advaita Jnana, non-dual knowledge. Now we're returning to that subject with a little more detail.
所以我们这里呢又对这个 Advaita Jnana 非二元性的知识呢又做了再一次的回顾，这里进行了更多的细节方面的论述。
And then in the next three verses he's going to give details about what each of these three types of Advaita experience are. Bhava,Kriya and Dravya Advaita.
接下来这三首诗就对这三首诗节进行了论述这种对 Advaita 是到底是怎样的一个概念。
So the first of them is Bhava Advaita, and here we get an analogy.
对 Bhava Advaita 我们有一个比方。
The analogy is a piece of cloth and the threads of the cloth.
这个比方就是一块布和这个布上面的线。
So, if you take away all the threads from a cloth, you no longer have a cloth.
如果把布上面的线都给抽掉，那么这块布也就不存在了。
Which means you realize there's no difference between the thread and the cloth.
这就意味着你觉悟到这个线和布是没有区别的。
And so, having that realization, that is called Bhava Advaita. You could say, call it conceptual oneness.
这就被称为是 bhava adwaita, 是在概念上的一致。
Okay, then let's read verse 64. This is going to give a definition of Kriya Advaita.
64节对 Kriya Advaita 做出了定义。我亲爱的 Yudhishthira, 当人把用自己的心意、言语和身体所履行的一切活动直接献给至尊人格守神的服务时，他便达到活动的一致，成为 Kriya Advaita。
Yes, sarva karma samarpanam means offering everything to the Lord. And here, Prabhupada takes a little bit liberty with its translation.
这里说把一切活动都供奉给至尊主，帕布帕德在这里又有一点点发挥了。
Because he translates in the translation.This dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
他们呢在译文当中说到，把这个奉献给至尊人格守神。
But in the verse, it just says Brahmani in Brahman.
但是诗节里面只说到 Brahmani 是在梵中。
But what he's doing here is he's taking explanation by Jiva.
嗯 ，So Maharaj, you mean
taking, you know, Prabhupada is taking explanation from Jiva Goswami.
帕帕德采纳了 Jiva Goswami 的解释。
Essentially, that Brahman means Bhagavan.
在实质上 ,Brahman 就意味着波迦梵。
And so, you can say from perspective of our previous acharyas, this is a legitimate translation.
你可以说，从我们的先前阿查亚的角度来看，这是一种合法的、合理的翻译。
And the final, we get a definition in 65 of Draya Advaita.
65节谈到了 Draya Advaita.
Draya Advaita, in the word for word, Prabhupada translates as oneness of interest.
Draya Advaita, Prabhupada 在自对自的翻译当中把它翻译为利益的一致性。
Now, the word Draya usually means materials or ingredients.Like when you're preparing, when you're going to cook, you bring together all the different ingredients. That's called dravya.
Dravya 的本意是一些原料。比方说我们在烹调的时候，我们会把各种各样的食材放在一起，这就称为是 dravya。
Go. Anybody home?
Maharaj, just now your voice is broken, cannot hear.
Okay, so in this verse, number 65, dravya, which usually means Here it's referring to children, relatives, and other living beings.
这里面就提到了利益呢，就是自身的利益，妻儿老小，门徒朋友，国人和全人类的利益。
And it says sva artha kama, where the desire is one's own interest, when it's aikyam, when it's singular.
Sva artha kama 是它的终极目标和益处的。
Then that's defining dravya advaita. So when all the interests are the same, that's dravya advaita.
当所有的利益都是一致的时候，那就被称为是 dravya advaita。
Okay, now Narada is going to say, in any case, he said you should perform your prescribed duties according to your status in life.
Narada Muni 在这里说到，不管怎样，根据你现在所处的地位去履行你的夫定职责。
As long as there is no unnormal conditions, as long as there's no danger.
只要是没有那些反常的情况，没有那些危险的情况。
I may have mentioned this another time, but there's something called Apad Dharma.
我们在其他地方提到 Apadharma。
Apadharma means dharma during disturbed times or dangerous times.
Apadharma 是在紧急状态下的职责。
And it means that the regular rule of dharma gets adjusted.
这就意味着常规的那种组织制度的履行现在不被考虑。
Narada is speaking here, you can say, in a sort of conservative way.
Narada Muni 现在口气是有一点保守的。
Yes, he's saying keep to your duties, even you may be a devotee, but just keep doing your duties.
这里面就说到了，即便你是奉献者，还是要继续履行你的职责。
Because this will be following these principles of non-dualism.
这个是遵照的是非二元论的原则。
And so he's basically saying, just you're a householder, stay a householder.
大意就是说，如果是居士。那么就稳处于你作为居士的地位。
Because he was speaking to Yudhishthir, and Yudhishthir was a householder.
因为他在跟尤迪士尔大君谈话，而尤迪士尔大君是一位居士。
So that's fine. You can stay as you are.
你可以稳处于你原本的地位。这没有关系。
Okay. Did we get that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's read now verse number 68.
68节。 尤迪斯日王啊，因为你对至尊主的服务，你们潘道兄弟全都战胜了众多国王和半神所设置的最巨大的危险。通过服务 Krishna 的莲花族，你们征服了恰似大象一般强大的敌人。你如此收集了祭祀的原料，愿你积着他的仁慈而从物质的捆缚当中被拯救出来。
So now Narada is beginning the end of his speech to Yudhishthira.
现在南摩尼开始要结束对尤迪士大军的教导。
And he is complimenting him.
他在赞美尤迪士大军。
He says, you've been doing service to the Lord.
你可以从事对至尊主的服务。
And because you've been serving the Lord, you have been successful. You have conquered great enemies.
因为你一直从事对至尊主的服务，所以你成功地征服了众多的敌人。
And now he gives him a blessing. He says, may you be blessed by the grace of the Lord.
现在他在这里给了尤迪士大军一个祝福，愿你得到 Krishna 莲花族的赐福。
I think Prabhupada adds that to the end of this. Anyway, let's move on. And then suddenly, very strange, Narada tells about his own life two lifetimes ago.
但是很奇怪的，纳尔德穆尼话锋一转，谈到了他自己在两个生世之前的前一世。
He says, I was a Gandharva with the name Upabarhana.
我是 Gandharva, 我的名字叫 Upabarhana.
And everyone respected me.
人人都尊重我。
Because I was very attractive.
因为我很有吸引力。
But then one day there was a Sankirtan festival.
有一天有一个在这个天堂星宿也有齐颂圣名的节日。
There was this festival and well, he says, I was there, I was invited.
我受邀参加节目。
And while I was there, I was surrounded by women, and I was singing the glories of the demigods.
我在女人的簇拥下开始歌唱半神人的荣耀。
And the Prajapatis, they heard this, and they became angry.
那些 Prajapati 听到了之后就很愤怒。
And so they cursed me.
所以他们诅咒了我。
Yahi tam shudra tam asu nashta shri.May you immediately be Shudra devoid of beauty.
因为你做出了冒犯，愿你立即变成 Shudra, 失去美貌。
And then he tells about his next life, which we already heard about in Canto 1, when he's born as a Shudra.
接下来他谈论了他的下一世。 在第一篇中我们已经听到了那儿的母女诞生为书桌的经历。
And we know that story. He was serving the Vaishnavas, the sadhus, and thus he became blessed.
我们都听过这个故事，他在服务 Vaishnava, 萨杜们，得到了祝福。
And therefore, he was born in his next life as a son of Brahman.
那么在他下一世，他就诞生为 Brahma 的儿子。
So why does he suddenly tell this story about himself?
那为什么他会讲起自己的前世的故事呢？
He's telling a success story. He's telling that my life was successful.
他在讲述一个自己的成功故事。我的人生是成功的。
And all I did, was to serve some Vaishnavas.
Sorry, the last sentence couldn't hear.
All that I did, to be successful was to serve Vaishnavas.
那么成功的原因在于去服务其他的 Vaishnava.
Yeah. And so he's saying, you, Maharaj Yudhishthir, you could also be successful.
你尤迪斯丁啊，也可以同样的达到这样的成就。
Even though, older.
即便你是一个居士。
Okay. And then he points out, actually, you, Yudhishthir, you don't know how fortunate you and your brother, none of us are.
他在这里又指出了尤迪士尔大君，你不知道你们潘达五兄弟有多么幸运。
All these great souls of different planets are coming to your house as visitors.
所有星球的伟大的灵魂都来拜访你们的家。
And even the Lord Himself, Krishna, is living with you in your house, just like your brother.
甚至人格守神 Krishna。也住在你们的家里面，就像你们的兄弟一般。
And this very Lord, is your well-wisher. He's your friend. He's your cousin.
这位至尊主，他还是你们的表兄弟，也是你们的祝福者。
You are just so fortunate. You have no idea.
你们有这么幸运，自己还没有意识到。
And now this same Lord is present right here.
现在这同一位主就临在于这里。
Because remember, Narada is speaking to Yudhishthir at Yudhishthir's Rajasuya.Sacrifice where Lord Krishna was present.
因为我们记得尤迪士尔大君和南尔达穆尼进行这方对话的时候，正好是尤迪士尔大君举行祭祀的场合，那时候 Krishna 正好临在于现场。
Okay, and then, He concludes with a prayer to Krishna.
最后他向 Krishna 供奉了祷文。
In the last line of verse 77.
在七十七节中最后一句。
In the last line of verse 77.
77世节当中的最后一句。
Yes. Prasidam Esha Satsapatam Bhati. May the Lord who is the Lord of the Satsapatas.
愿那同一位至尊人格守神啊，对我他是奉献者的维系者和主人和领路人，对我们满意。
Okay, Shukadeva Goswami, you are very joyful.
Now, Shukadeva Goswami said, Yudhishthira 大君从 Narada Muni 听到了这一切以后，他感到了极大的喜悦。在巨大的狂喜爱和情感当中，他崇拜主 Krishna。Sorry, Maharaj, your voice is broken. I couldn't hear.
Almost. Are you well?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you're hearing.So Narada Muni says goodbye. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Yes.We have a bad connection here on this side.
Yes, we know.
Okay. So let's read the last verse of the chapter, verse number 80.
我们来读八十节也是这一章的最后一节。此间宇宙内所有星宿之上的各种生物动的和不动的，包括半世人、恶魔和人类，都繁衍自 Maharaj Dasha 的主位女儿。我现已描述了他们以及他们不同的王朝。
Okay, so Shukadev is closing the chapter and the canto, and you can say a long section of Bhagavatam beginning with canto 4.
在这里 Sukadeva Goswami 把这个从第四篇到第七篇这么一个长长的叙述篇章讲完了。
And next time we meet we will begin with Canto 8.
下一次我们就讲第八篇。
And we will go very, very quickly through chapter 1. We may actually more or less skip chapter 1 because it's just many, many names.
我们可能对第八篇的第一章只是浏览一下，因为它描述了很多人的名字。
Yeah.
So when Ms. Maharaj will give the next class.
Yes. We've come to the end of, and we've also come to the end of our time for today.
Yes. Yeah, this is.
So I will say thank you very much, Gopi Krishna Mataji, for translating.
Sorry, Maharaj, because the connection is not very well. I couldn't hear properly. Many times I'm just speculating.
Yes, I'm saying thank you very much for ending now.
I have just struggled to do this service. Sorry. Next time we try to do better.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for your kindly sharing the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So we finish there.
Yes, we will finish here. I just sent a little message. And I'll say Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Antakosti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.